Hi, and welcome to Reader's Digest. I'm your volunteer reader, Tigger, and today I'll be reading some miscellaneous articles out of the February issue. The first one we're going to read is Words to Live By, or What I've Learned from Reading Obituaries, by Mary McGeevy. We Americans are voracious consumers of advice, seeking wisdom wherever we can find it. Podcasts, books, TED Talks, life coaches, influencers, religion, therapy, Dear Abby, barbers, bartenders, the drivers, the list goes on. I'd like to add my personal source for guidance, obituaries. It turns out the dead know a thing or two about living. I've been an avid obit reader for decades, for the same reason that artist Myra Kyman says she reads them every morning. Maybe it's a way of trying to figure out, before the day begins, what is important. Recently, I've begun using my TikTok account, called Tips from Dead People, to share some of life's lessons I've learned from obituaries. Here are a few favorites. Success is measured in kindness. Maureen Brennan Weaver of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, was accomplished by any standard measure as a doctor, mother, volunteer, but her obituary comes to life with the tiny details. Maureen was 6 foot and loved strays of all species, could outthink any opponent, was riotously funny and pathologically generous. That last part is the key to knowing her. If you mentioned a thing you'd like, she'd get you one when she found them at a great price. When a nephew wished for a plastic microscope, she found him a real one at a great price and painstakingly prepared hundreds of slides for his study. Turns out that qualities like generosity are actually the things that endure, not the job, titles, or purchases. Overcoming obstacles isn't just for superheroes. If you think that a catastrophe in your life will define you forever, worry not. I've read obituaries of lives that feature disaster, heartache, addiction, estrangement, breakups, and all manner of reckless choices. And guess what? In almost every case, there was another chapter, sometimes many more chapters. Renewals, rebirths, remarriages, relocation, it ain't over till it's over. Take Jerry Tubb of Nickel Hills, Oklahoma, who in 1955 and 1956 spent 6 months in the hospital losing the use of his legs to polio as a teenager, just months before the vaccine became available. His extraordinarily positive obituary reads, "You would have thought Jerry would have become needy, pessimistic, and maybe even jealous of others over the seven decades his body continued to fail him again and again and again, leaving him both paralyzed and without feeling below his chest in the last years of his life. But it never did. Jerry kept getting up day after day, and he kept treating each moment of life as a gift." Tubb's story includes law school, an epic love story, and so much more. The moral of the story: you may think that you're defined by catastrophic moments, but don't ever count yourself out, or anyone else for that matter. When in doubt, laugh. Renee Corner of El Paso, Texas, died at the age of 84, a crushing blow to her family. But as the obituary written by her loving son shows, this is a woman who will be remembered for living life to the fullest. Consequences be damned. The body fertile, red-headed matriarch of a sprawling Jewish-Mexican redneck American family has kicked it. Hers was an itinerant, much-lived life. A Yankee Florida liberal, Jewish tough gal who bowled them in Japan, rolled them in North Carolina, and was a singularly unique parent. There will be much mourning in the glamorous locale she went bankrupt in, McKeeport, Pennsylvania, Renee's birthplace and where she first fell in love with Ham and atheism, Fayetteville and Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina, where Renee's dreams, credit rating, and marriage are all buried, there will be a very disrespectful and totally non-denominational memorial on May the 10th, 2022, most likely at a bowling alley in Fayetteville. The family requests absolutely zero privacy or propriety. Bye, Mommy. We all loved you to bits. Not to be outdone is Edna DeBack of Nashua, New Hampshire. By the end of her life, she suffered from dementia. But in her obituary, DeBack's family preferred to highlight the joy she found in life. She was the bingo queen. She never met a candy she couldn't store in her bra for later. She had great teeth until they got lost. She'd flirt with everyone. She laughed so much she often peed her pants. We'll miss her stories and her sporadic use of French. One thing we know for sure is that wherever she is, there's country music playing and she's dancing. In the end, people will be remembered not by the disease, but how much joy they contributed to the world. Be honest, even when it hurts. There comes a point in life and in death where we need to be brutally honest about the hard stuff. Take Cody James Holland of Hevelton, New York. His mom wrote his obituary and led off with a truth bomb like no other. Cody James left us on August 8, 2020, as a result of injuries sustained from being a dumbass. He drank, drove, and didn't wear his seatbelt. Please don't be a dumbass. The obit generated some controversy, but his mom said she'd do it again to save someone else. Don't misunderstand. Holland was loved and relished his life. He loved his family and friends, along with trucks, his motorcycle, his dog, his guns, hunting, fishing, steak, chew, beer, hats on sideways, Sour Patch Kids, Swedish Fish, and Shania Twain. But a tribute to him without the hard stuff wouldn't be a real tribute. You don't need to whitewash a person's life to pay tribute to them. We all contain paradoxes and complications, and not only is there nothing wrong with that, it's what makes us beautiful. Try something new. As a perfectionist, I find that this tip is the hardest and maybe the most important for me to implement. Can you imagine realizing at the end of your life that you didn't try something simply because you thought you might fail? Suffering from a fear of failure did not apply to Ida Keeling of Harlem, New York. According to her obituary, Keeling was 67 and depressed over the sudden loss of her husband and her two sons. When at the urging of her daughter, she entered a 5K with only a day's notice. She was all in and said early into the race that she felt like she was running up and down out of a hole, like someone who had watered a plant that had not been watered in a long time. The spark was lit, and she went on to run for three more decades. She died at 106. Don't feel like breaking a sweat? Then be like Ricardo Torres of Wayzata, Minnesota. His obituary says, in recent years, he discovered a passion for gardening. He approached it with little planning but lots of enthusiasm, especially when it came to killing weeds. Many a neighbor witnessed Rich using a flamethrower to torch the unwanted plants into his yard. The cigar in his mouth was a nice touch. Now, come on, there's a guy you'd want as your neighbor. Reading so many obituaries has, of course, inspired me to think about what my own might say. Punctual to a fault? Mediocre dancer but expertly sarcastic? Her perfect meal was a peanut butter and bacon sandwich. Any of these things, as little as they are, say more about me than a list of jobs or the money I've made. That's because the little things in life, the things that seem inconsequential but add depth and whimsy and joy to our days, they are what make it so worth being alive. Before we get into the next article, there's a little squib that says nearly 9 in 10 football fans say they've had more fun tailgating than at the game they tailgated for. I always thought that way. The next article is Mind-Bending Facts About Yoga by Stephanie Gray. Though it's been around for roughly 5,000 years, yoga is more popular today than ever. The fact that you can practice it just about anywhere is a big reason why. About 55 million Americans regularly hit the mat. That's nearly 15 million more than the number of people who play golf. Westerners adopted yoga as a form of exercise, but at its roots, yoga is a way of life. As recorded in the Yoga Sutra, a classic yoga text attributed to the philosopher Patanjali, yoga is based on the idea that the mind, body, and spirit are all one. The breath is said to carry a person's life force. Many gurus feel that controlling the breath rejuvenates the body and can even extend your life. If you're taking a yoga class for the first time, you might hear words you don't recognize, like Tadasana, which is the mountain pose, or Uttanasana, standing forward bend. These words are in Sanskrit, the root of many Indian languages and the language of yoga. Today, it's spoken by less than 1% of Indians. Yoga's root word, yuj, means to unite and refers to the two selves, the individual and the divine. In addition to reducing stress, yoga can improve posture and balance, strengthen bones and muscles, and keep your joints healthy. Different poses offer different benefits. For instance, downward facing dog, Adho Mukha Svanasana, can relieve back pain, while plank pose, Falasana, is good for building a strong core. For a quick break, start out on your hands and knees and sit back, bringing your belly to the floor with arms outstretched for child's pose, Balasana, a gentle stretch that helps you rest and refocus. The Hindu monk Swami Vivekananda is credited with popularizing yoga in the West. In 1893, he attended the Chicago World's Fair, where he gave a groundbreaking speech calling for religious tolerance, prompting a 2-minute standing ovation. He then went on to write Raja Yoga, published in the U.S. in 1896, which adopted Patanjali's Yoga Sutra for a Western audience. Today, yoga is big business. Globally, the industry is expected to generate $66 billion by 2027. More than 45,000 yoga studios dot the country, and despite the fact that all you really need is a mat, the average American yogi spends an estimated $62,640 over a lifetime of yoga classes and accessories. Nearly 5 million kids nationwide practice yoga too, with benefits beyond the physical. Yoga can help reduce anxiety and improve focus, which is especially beneficial for kids with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Yoga has also been found to help children with autism spectrum disorder better regulate their emotions. Some of yoga's famous practitioners include Madonna, Meghan Markle, LeBron James, and Paul McCartney, who in 2020 at age 78 said in an interview that he regularly practices the headstand pose, Shirshasana. The benefits of doing this pose include improved circulation, digestion, and focus. But the difficult inversion puts much of your body weight on your neck and head and can be dangerous if not done properly. Between 2001 and 2014, almost 30,000 Americans ended up in the ER because of yoga-related injuries. Strains and sprains tend to be the most common issues, but serious injuries, although rare, can happen. One 39-year-old Maryland woman had a massive stroke after tearing an artery while attempting a hollow back handstand pose, Pincha Marasusana. To prevent injury, work with a qualified instructor. Warm up thoroughly and don't try positions beyond your comfort level. Yogi Yash Moradia, 22, is a 9-time Guinness World Record holder for maintaining difficult poses. In 2022, he held upside-down scorpion pose, Rishikasana, a forearm stand with the back so arched that the head and toes can touch, for 29 minutes and 4 seconds. Vinyasa yoga, also called flow, is one of the most popular styles. It focuses on linking a series of poses with the breath in a quick, fluid pace. Ashtanga is like vinyasa, but more structured. It is made up of 6 series with a fixed order of poses. Hot yoga is performed in a sauna-like room, usually heated between 80 and 105 degrees. The heat is said to increase stamina, flexibility, and calorie burn. Already into yoga and looking to change up your practice? Try a modern variation. Aerial yoga involves hanging from a silk hammock suspended from the ceiling. It can reduce the joint pressure some people feel while doing yoga on the floor. Animal yoga is about decreasing stress and boosting your mood by practicing poses in the company of puppies, goats, and even horses. Corpse pose, Shavasana, looks simple, lying flat on one's back, eyes closed. But it can be deceivingly difficult to master, as it calls for a state of meditative calm. Typically the final position of a yoga class, the purpose of this pose is to allow your practice to settle in your mind and body. After that, you and your classmates usually acknowledge each other with a greeting that even non-yogis know, Namaste. This next article is from The Healthy. When the world spins, vertigo is surprisingly common. Here's how to handle it, by Karen Robach. One morning last winter, Lynn Smith was doing a series of gentle stretches on a mat in her living room, trying to loosen up a stiff lower back. Maybe she should have tried yoga. When the 56-year-old sat up, she felt a bit strange. "I started to feel dizzy in a way I had not felt before," she says. Then, when she got into bed that night, she felt as if the room was spinning around her. She went to her doctor, who put a name to experiences. Vertigo. While it's often described as a sensation of motion, vertigo is more complex than a dizzy spell. People can experience ringing in the ears, loss of balance, double vision, and trouble swallowing depending on what's causing the vertigo. Episodes can last anywhere from a few minutes to a few days. Although it can affect people of all ages, vertigo is most common in midlife and beyond, and is more prevalent in women, although experts don't fully understand why, says Terry Fife, a neurologist at the Barrow Neurological Institute in Phoenix, who specializes in balance disorders. Nearly 40% of adults in the United States will experience vertigo at least once in their lifetime. It's important to understand that vertigo is not a disease in itself, it's a symptom. There are many reasons why someone may have vertigo, but it generally falls into one of two types: peripheral vertigo and central vertigo. With peripheral vertigo, the most common cause is benign paroxysmal positional vertigo, or BPPV. It develops when canaliths, the tiny crystal-like calcium particles that occur naturally inside the ear, become loose and move deeper into the inner ear canals. As they roll around, they can disrupt the transmission of information to the brain about balance. That's why the sensation that the room is spinning can strike when someone leans back to look up into a high kitchen cupboard, bends over to tie a shoe, or, as Smith discovered, folds over in a yoga pose. Less common causes are a head injury or Meniere's disease, a rare inner ear condition. Central vertigo is less common and occurs in people who are experiencing a problem with the central nervous system, such as vestibular migraines, which is a type of migraine defined by extreme dizziness, or a stroke. A primary care physician may refer a patient to an ear, nose, and throat specialist, ENT, or suggest a neurologist or even a cardiologist. That's why getting the diagnosis right is especially important, says Dr. Fife. BPPV will often resolve itself in a few weeks or months, but rather than waiting, patients can try at-home exercises to wiggle the ear crystals back into position. The Epley maneuver, which worked for Smith, is the most well-known. According to a 2023 study published in the journal Medicine, it improves symptoms of vertigo in 98% of patients. It can also be done preventatively, as Smith's neurologist recommended. An over-the-counter drug, meclizine, which is commonly used for motion sickness, can help quell symptoms when they strike. Smith's neurologist also recommended she avoid alcohol, sugar, and caffeine, as they could possibly trigger episodes of vertigo. Stress and inadequate sleep are also other possible triggers. Feeling the room spin was terrifying, says Smith. As she shared her experience with others, she was surprised at how many said they too had experienced vertigo. This is not some obscure medical condition, she says. It's far more common than you may think. Also from the world of medicine, this by Samantha Rideout, a cure for mean world syndrome. Although news stories about disturbing events can be worth your attention, good news benefits your mental health, concludes a British experiment. More than 300 participants read stories about cruelty or violence, which, not surprisingly, dampened their moods. Those who went on to read lighthearted anecdotes, e.g. a mouthy parrot, felt better. But those who read stories about acts of kindness reported a greater belief in the overall goodness of humanity. These results suggest that even if you're exposed to a daily barrage of bad news, hearing about the kindness of others makes you happier and protects you against what some researchers call mean world syndrome, an anxious outlook caused by an overestimation of the world's dangers. Another thing you can do for your health, staying up to date with your immunizations reduces your chance of developing Alzheimer's disease, suggests a study of people over 65 led by the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston. Specifically, the vaccines for tetanus and diphtheria, adults should get a booster every 10 years, shingles, recommended for people over 50, and pneumococcal disease, recommended for seniors over 65, lowered the relative risk of Alzheimer's by as much as 30%. A couple of years ago, the same team found a similar risk reduction with the flu shot. Exercising the immune system with vaccines can help it respond appropriately to the toxic proteins that contribute to Alzheimer's as they build up in the brain. In addition, some preventable infections, such as shingles, can cause harmful brain inflammation. And a type 2 diabetes breakthrough. People with type 2 diabetes will likely soon have the option of taking their insulin injections only once a week. That's because a new longer-lasting treatment called insulin Icodec has performed well in late-stage trials, and its developer has applied for approval from regulators around the world. The trials show that this form of insulin lowers blood sugar levels at least as effectively as daily options do. That said, the participants taking insulin Icodec had a slightly higher rate of episodes of excessively low blood sugar, a risk that each patient, along with their doctor, will need to weigh against the convenience of fewer shots. Respiratory syncytial virus, commonly known as RSV, is an infection that surges each winter, or in tropical climates, each wet season. Most people have had it before, but they might not have realized it was RSV because it usually causes only mild symptoms, similar to the common cold. But it sometimes leads to serious breathing difficulties, particularly for elderly people and babies. Fortunately, scientists are now developing treatments to help prevent RSV in those most vulnerable groups. Two that are approved for use in the United States are an injectable drug called Beyfortus, which is nirsevimabalip for infants, and a new vaccine, Arexvy, which is suitable for some people over 60. Both treatments should protect people through at least one RSV season. Sleeping medications aren't always effective long-term, and they come with serious risks, such as memory problems and addiction. But we know that changes to thoughts and behaviors can help with insomnia just as much as meds can, if not more. One of these tweaks is to stop watching the clock when you're hoping to nod off. Recent research led by a team at Indiana University found evidence that monitoring the time makes people feel more frustrated, which exacerbates their insomnia and ultimately makes them more likely to turn to pills. Okay, let's finish up with some laughter, the best medicine. The cartoon is two rabbits showing up at a great big black magician's hat, and the one is saying to the other, "Well, this is me." The best technique to sell burglar alarms? Stop by when nobody's home and leave a brochure on the kitchen table. A politician running for office visits a small rural town and says to the mayor, "I want to help you. What are your needs?" "We have two basic needs," the mayor replies. "First, we have a hospital but no doctor." Hearing this, the politician pulls out his phone and, after speaking for a while, tells the mayor, "Don't worry, a doctor will be here soon. Now what's the second problem?" "We don't have cell phone reception." I am at the point in life where I clean my house to the music I used to get drunk to. For Valentine's Day, I bought my girlfriend beads for an abacus. It's the little things that count. Why did the skeletons break up on Valentine's Day? Their hearts weren't in it. My Valentine's Day so far has been like a fairy tale. Grim. Oh goodness, that's all the time we have today for Reader's Digest. Thank you for listening. My name is Tigger. Stay tuned for more great programming on Sun Sounds.